Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch. Find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside, of course, is here as well. DRS and myself, over the span of these next 3 hours, up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, we'll go all over the sports landscape. We'll look back on week number 3. Now in the books of this National Football League regular season, we'll look at the college football season after the first month of action. And in this final week of the Major League Baseball regular season, DRS, we need to paint the picture for the postseason in every integral game that will decide the outcome of October. It's going to be a busy 3 hours here, DRS, on TEL.
No doubt about it. Looking forward to it overall, and also a doubleheader Monday Night Football. And yes, the Astros, Ben, actually won a baseball game. Absolutely tremendous last night. And yes, we have 3 hours. Let's get after it.
We will get after it. We will get to it all. DRS, we start with the doubleheader on Monday Night Football, the nightcap in Cincinnati. DRS, what is the golden rule in the National Football League after week number 3? You cannot start winless. You cannot start 0-3, especially if you have the hopes of being a Super Bowl contender. And Joe Burrow, despite an aggravated right calf strain, was back on the field last night for the Bengals. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't easy. But since he gets off the mat, recording their first victory of the year, DRS, 19-16 over the LA Rams, their first victory in the Super Bowl 56 rematch last night in Cincinnati.
Winning ugly, you'll take it each and every time, especially when you absolutely need the victory, which the Cincinnati Bengals did. You take a look at Matthew Stafford, 269 and 1 touchdown. Very good defensive performance. But also, did you see how many times they let Cincinnati throw the football? Should I say Joe Burrow throw the football on that bad calf? You do whatever it takes, I should say, to win that football game. They did that. They have a season now, Ben, and here we go.
A welcome to our Sports Grid radio audience. Hour number 1 of 3 live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It's a Tuesday morning with myself, Ben Stevens, and Donnie Wrightside, DRS. Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. The Bengals now 1-2. They were 0-2 last year, DRS, after their start to the season. This year as well, but they get a win they desperately needed in game number 3. 49 passes. Attempts for the banged up Burrow, who said the need to not start 0-3, DRS, the need for their first win of the year outweighed any risk of re-injuring or re-aggravating that injured right calf. And he fed his guy, Jamar Chase, 15 targets last night for Chase, 12 grabs and 141 yards. By far his best performance here through 3 weeks of the National Football League regular season. DRS, week number 3 now comes to a close, and at the end of week 3, there are only 3 remaining unbeaten teams in the NFC. It's the Niners and the Philadelphia Eagles. And in the AFC, it's the Miami Dolphins. The Eagles stayed perfect on the road last night in Tampa Bay. Dominant throughout, DRS, 25-11. The victory for Philadelphia. Easily covering as well as a 5.5-point favorite.
Tremendous there. Win by the Philadelphia Eagles on the road on Monday Night Football in complete control the entire way, whether the rain, whether the fog, whether the flu game for Jalen Hurts, who apparently was under the weather yesterday. That's a big-time win for the Philadelphia Eagles. But it doesn't seem like they get any credit for victories. They just have to play, I guess, Kansas City every single weekend, and then most people are going to wake up to see how good a football team this is. Jalen Hurts doesn't lose in the regular season, and he didn't lose last night.
2-0-1 against the spread for Philadelphia this year. DRS as a favorite, which the Birds have been booked in every game outside of Super Bowl 57, dating back to the start of 2022. That's now 22 of 23 football games. The Eagles, 19-3 straight up. It's the final week, DRS, of the Major League Baseball regular season, and down the stretch we go. Only a four-game slate yesterday in MLB, but a huge game in Seattle between the Astros and the Mariners. These two teams from the American League West now battling and jockeying, DRS, for that third and final American League wild card spot. Vintage Verlander. Yesterday, the 40-year-old looks like the reigning AL Cy Young winner that helped Houston win a World Series championship in 2022. A 5-1 victory for the Astros, who entered, DRS, losing 9 of their last 12 games, but Verlander, 8 innings of work, only allowing 1 earned run and 3 hits, striking out 8. Houston gets a win they really, really needed, DRS.
Absolutely, they did, and you're right, reaching back for Verlander there on the mound. 8 innings pitched, only 1 earned run, 8 Ks here. This is why you bring in top-flight performers at the end of the season in big games that you need to win, and they perform that way. A massive victory, which now gives them a game-and-a-half lead over the Seattle Mariners on that wild-card spot.
And DRS, that is the important part. Still 2 more games to go in this set in the Pacific Northwest. The Astros actually booked as a slight underdog on the road yesterday. Houston, 1.5 games clear of Seattle for that third and final AL wild card spot. But the Astros still looking up at the Texas Rangers by 2.5 games in the American League West division. Texas wins its 6th straight game yesterday, DRS. 5-1 in Anaheim over the Halos. The Bats have woken up, DRS, for Texas yesterday. 3 home runs in the top of the 6th for Texas that paced them to a 5-1 victory.
Yeah, good job by the Rangers here. First 5 innings there, you were stymied there by Sandoval and Suarez, but eventually the home runs and the big bats show up. 4 home runs out of 5 total runs scored. And by the way, take a look at the box score here for the Rangers. They were 0-for with runners in scoring position, but when you can hit the long ball, that heals all. 5-1, massive victory. The Rangers hot at the right time.
DRS, some injury news around the National Football League following week number 3. Derek Carr went down midway through the 3rd quarter with his Saints team up 17-0 in Lambeau on Sunday against the Packers. From that point, Green Bay came all the way back to win 18-17. And DRS, there was fear this injury could be very long-term for Derek Carr and New Orleans. It is described to be week to week, but he is probably going to miss some time. Enter Jameis Winston.
Yeah, how about that? It'll be interesting to see how Winston plays, but this is why you need a quality backup quarterback that's been there, done that. We don't talk about, hey, a quarterback going down for the season and what are you going to do with a backup? You just need your backup to perform in maybe a game-to-game spot, filling in for a quarterback midway through the game, or even a spot starter too. Winston should be able to handle this, and they should be able to beat the Buccaneers.
The Saints back at home in the Big Easy on Sunday against those Bucks, a battle of 2-1 teams in the NFC South. New Orleans booked as a 3-point favorite. Good news for the Saints, though. Alvin Kamara has finished his 3-game suspension for violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. He is back now for the Saints. DRS, you asked Dr. David Chow yesterday here on TEL about the prognosis around Mike Williams. Dr. Chow said via video it looked as though he had torn his ACL. That was the confirmation yesterday out of the Chargers organization. A big blow for an offense, DRS, that threw the football for more than 400 yards in their first win on Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, big win on Sunday and a big loss there at the wide receiver position. But that's why you draft down the line. They picked another first-round draft pick at wide receiver. They have a lot of talent. They just have to stay healthy. But it's football, Ben. Not everybody's going to stay healthy at every single position. We'll see how the Chargers rebound from this.
The Bolts, a 6-point home favorite back in Los Angeles against the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders head coach Josh McDaniels telling reporters yesterday, DRS, that quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo is in the NFL's concussion protocol. A recap of Monday Night Football, the doubleheader up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Bengals had their backs against the wall in the second game of two on Monday Night Football to close out week number three of this NFL season. But enter Joe Burrow, banged up calf and all. Enter Ja'Marr Chase when the Bengals needed a win. Lou Anarumo and that defense step up as well, DRS. Unrelenting pressure in the second half on Matthew Stafford and the Rams. And Cincy gets its first win of the year. Welcome back to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line. The Bengals victorious 19-16. DRS, a 3-point margin of victory for Cincinnati, booked as a 3-point favorite after it was confirmed that Joe Burrow was going to give it a go last night in week number three.
I thought he was going all along here, and everything that told you last week in practice, where he didn't practice early in the week, but put on the shoulder pads and the helmet, gave it a go, even watched an interview from Dan Orlovsky that said he watched practice and looked like Joe Burrow was back to being Joe Burrow. Now, it was pretty apparent watching that Monday Night Football game. Joe Burrow wasn't 100%, but he could be functional in the pocket, and that's better than just about 80% of the quarterbacks in the NFL. Was he clean? Was he sharp? No, he wasn't, but they needed that victory, and they got it. And quite frankly, I didn't hear anything coming out of the game. He's anything worse for the wear. And also, let's keep in mind, Joe Burrow actually brought this up in the post-game press conference. Look, what did you want me to do? We were 0-2. If I sit this game, we go 0-3. We know the statistics on making the playoffs. This was a must-win football game. So even if I did re-injure myself in a victory or a loss, at least we gave it our best chance. They couldn't risk not playing Joe Burrow, even if the risk was Joe Burrow might get hurt extensively.
DRS, it's a great point, right? Because we have mentioned the stats about starting 0-3 after your first three games, dating back to 2000 in the National Football League. Entering this season, 99 teams had started winless 0-3. Only one had made the playoffs, the 2018 Houston Texans. And with the Bengals, DRS, last year starting 0-2, a victory week number three and finding their way back to a second consecutive AFC championship, they understand the importance probably better than most to pick up a win, at least in week number three. And DRS, we like to trust the smart people here, right? Dr. David Chow told us yesterday that the fear of re-aggravating the injury after it already been re-aggravated wasn't really what the Bengals were weighing here. And it wasn't like giving him Monday night off means, all right, he's full go 100% for week number four. This is something he is going to work through the entirety of this year. Will he be 100% at any point if he is active and playing? Who knows? But last night, they made sure he was throwing the football, DRS. 49 attempts out of Joe Burrow, 259 passing yards, did not throw a touchdown, and did have one interception. DRS, the passing yards prop last night for Joe Burrow after he was confirmed in, 238.5, a number he had stayed well under in both of the opening two losses for Cincy. Just 222 last weekend against Baltimore. Of course, only 82 yards in the opener over the Browns, but the richest man in NFL history comes through last night, DRS. Again, not pretty, not perfect, not easy by any means, but the Bengals get a win they desperately needed.
Yeah, 41-16 or 19-16, it doesn't matter. It's in the win column here, and you move forward and know you have a season to play. And also, very good effort for the Rams here. I didn't expect much coming into the season here, and they were right in that football game to win it. They just couldn't produce on third downs. I believe their only third down conversion of the game was on that late touchdown pass here to get them back into the game, which ended, obviously, at 19-16. But I was impressed by the Bengals. You got to win those football games and move forward. And again, Ben, as you said, we don't know if the calf is actually going to get better week to week, or it could get re-aggravated, but it was a win last night, and we didn't get any detrimental information after the game that, hey, look, even though we won this game, Burrow's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks because he did really re-aggravate that strain in his calf. We don't know, but we'll talk about the Philadelphia Eagles in just a second. But the reason I want to bring that up is number one wide receiver stepping up in big moments. A.J. Brown for the Philadelphia Eagles, but Ja'Marr Chase. We were waiting for Ja'Marr Chase. 31 reception yards, 39 reception yards in back-to-back games, 141, 12 catches on 15 targets. You go to your playmakers in times of need. The Bengals needed a victory. They went to Chase, and he delivered.
DRS, they highlighted it on the broadcast all throughout. Lewis Riddick, Dan Orlovsky, two of the best football minds in terms of making everything very palatable for even the most casual of an NFL fan. They were using Ja'Marr Chase all over the field last night in Cincinnati, getting him the football. DRS, last week against Baltimore, 8 targets, only 5 grabs for Chase, 31 yards against the Baltimore Ravens. Ja'Marr Chase entered this year as the favorite, albeit a long number, but as the favorite to win the NFL Offensive Player of the Year in a pretty slow start, like the Bengals got off to a slow start. It was a mandate, it seemed, last night to get Ja'Marr Chase the football well over his receiving yards prop of 73 and a hook, finishing with 141. T. Higgins, not a stellar night after having 89 yards and 2 touchdowns last week against the flock, only 21 yards. And look at the young Puka Nacua. They tried to keep him, DRS, from 70 and a half, but a 37-yard connection from Matthew Stafford late in the game, under 2 minutes, that set up that final touchdown for LA. He goes over his receiving yards prop for a third consecutive game. And DRS, Sean McVay has been called many things in the National Football League. One of the best young coaches, one of the best offensive minds, one of the best schematic coaches in the National Football League. I call him the master of the backdoor cover because for a second straight week, with about a minute left, the Rams push on that spread that was 3 points in favor of Cincinnati.
Yeah, exactly. And I think most people were probably confident which way they got the lines. If you were betting the Cincinnati Bengals, the 1.5s were there for so long, you probably got down on that. And then if you waited for it to get to 3, if you wanted the Rams, I doubt you were pulling the trigger at the Rams plus 1.5 or plus 2, because it moved pretty quickly once we figured Joe Burrow was playing yesterday. So it's one of those games where I don't think too many people actually lost on the side and probably won some money there. But certainly the total stayed way under there. But also, you have to understand this. You just got to get the victories here. Do you think Joe Burrow in that meeting is going back and says, man, I didn't throw any touchdown passes yesterday. What a terrible season. No, he checks his bank account and he checks the bottom line, which means they won big. So let's go.
Yeah, DRS, if he checks the bank account, not much is bad in this world, although a fiery competitor, no doubt, for Joe Burrow. DRS, I think you bring up a great point, by the way. The spread not only worked in Cincinnati's favor, that's why it pays to watch the early line. Literally profits if you watch the early line. We told you the number at 1.5 yesterday was not going to be 1.5 if Joe Burrow was even out there at 70% of his abilities. Hope you got in early. But the total also was on the rise. A number at 43 and a hook, DRS, earlier in the day, added 2 points on that total, 45 and a hook. But because of the defense, and that's a big component of what the Bengals brought last night, all the pressures they were throwing at Matthew Stafford, sacking Stafford 6 times in the football game against a banged up and patchwork offensive line for LA, a key difference certainly in that second half, DRS. Matthew Stafford was getting the football out as quickly as he could because he realized he did not have a ton of time. Only 35 total points in the game, staying well under 45 in a hook. Matthew Stafford, who had thrown for at least 307 yards in each of the Rams' first 2 games, still over his passing yards prop last night, DRS. 247 in a hook, finishing with 269. His 4th interception of the year last night, though. 2 more picks last night in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and by the way, a QBR rating of 24.5 and also running for his life most of that night. He took 6 sacks in that game, but those 6 sacks for a whopping 48 yards. That's not a running quarterback peeling backwards trying to make something happen and taking a 20-yard sack. That's an immobile quarterback in the pocket that was getting dinged around last night. Look, there's not a lot of talent on the outside, and Sean McVay is going to have to make a lot of things work here until Cooper Kupp gets back. But also, 1-2 competitive in every game they played. That's as good as you can ask for the Rams right now for me. But really, the focus on Cincinnati, season-saving victory last night on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, DRS, that's the question. What's your outlook now of the Bengals? They get their first win, but they're still 1-2. Do you have that belief that Cincy is a true contender for a AFC championship?
I do, because the pedigree is there. They've won big games, they've been in big games, and they were a minute or two away from actually winning the Super Bowl. If Joe Burrow's calf responds throughout the season, that's going to be a high-flying offense that'll be fun to watch, and they'll win their fair share of football games.
And DRS, they entered the year with a win total of 10.5. If you believe in getting a better number, 9.5, where the under has all the juice, still with 14 games remaining, maybe they get to double digits. They're going to need it to be a playoff team. Yeah. They get their first win, they will need many more. DRS, the perfect unbeaten Philadelphia Eagles, up next, live right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line Live right here on this Tuesday. A recap and review of a doubleheader on a Monday night in the NFL to close out week number three. DRS, the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the three remaining undefeated teams after week number three of this NFL season. 25-11 last night on the road in Tampa Bay. If you're looking for a complete football team, the Birds are here to remind you they are that. A perfect 3-0 start, DRS, despite the fact many people felt Philly had regressed slightly, despite getting to the Super Bowl last year and winning an NFC championship. Jalen Hurts, by far, his best game through the air. Philadelphia, as a team, still runs it for more than 200 yards. And A.J. Brown had to be smiling into the locker room with all the targets and yards he received last night. 25-11 DRS in a matchup of unbeatens. The Bucs handed their first loss of the season. Philadelphia off to a 3-0 beginning.
Yeah, the Eagles' defense was on full display last night. They were sensational. My goodness, every time I see, look, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl last year, and then they got the best player in the draft, and not by happenstance. Like, they made a shrewd trade, which put them basically around the top 10, made a move to get Jalen Carter, who, again, didn't have his off-field stuff, and I know that goes plays into a lot of it, but that's the best overall football player in the draft, a rookie defensive tackle that is just smashing centers and guards left and right, can stop the run, take on double teams, and rush the passer at the same time. They are so good on the front four, which makes it so much easier on your secondary. And also, let's not forget here, sometimes you just think about the linebacking core as the way you stop the running game. Not necessarily. When you have two mountains in the middle from the state of Georgia, you are going to dominate football games because you can't double team. It doesn't matter. They hold three guys up. There are no running lanes, which allows those linebackers, and it doesn't even matter seemingly how quality the linebackers have to be. If you're running free without having to deal with any guards, centers, or fullbacks, it doesn't matter. You're going to make plays. They were sensational in stopping the running game, which really put it on Baker Mayfield. 15 of 25 gets the late touchdown pass, but a QBR rating of 34.5. As much as I love the Philadelphia Eagles offense, which we'll get to, the defense was on center stage on Monday Night Football. That's Eagle football from what we saw last year.
Certainly so, DRS. 317 yards out of Baker Mayfield last week against the Chicago Bears. Less than a buck 50 last night, finishing with 146. And Donnie, you highlighted this yesterday in terms of breaking down this football game. An Eagles defense that on a short week, week number two against Minnesota, was depleted. No Reed Blankenship, no James Bradbury on the other side away from Darius Slay. Both guys back after a pseudo short bye week, 11 days off from Thursday night at the Link against the Vikings, week number two, to Monday night last night in Florida against the Buccaneers. And DRS, it was an impressive performance out of Jalen Hurts, one that we probably had to see. He didn't go over his passing touchdowns prop of 1.5, but he finally went over that passing yards number, 235 and a hook. DRS, he hadn't even thrown for 200 yet this year in the opening two games for Philadelphia. And of course, he scores again last night, courtesy of the tush push. His third rushing touchdown in the last two games. And Donnie, if the Eagles get to the 1 yard line, you know they're going to score.
It's fantastic. And I love, you know, watching social media and national highlights. You have to ban that. Well, here's what I say. And me being an Eagles fan, and I thoroughly enjoy it because it feels like now they're rubbing the face of the general public who doesn't like it every single game because you know it's coming and you know it's going to work. But hear me out on this. Would it be the same thing if we said, okay, Patrick Mahomes, you can't audible or throw a no-look pass during the game. That's illegal because of how good you can do it, and apparently nobody else can do that. Hey, Lamar Jackson, on 3rd and 8, you're not allowed to scramble out of the pocket because you're the most electric performer in football, and Joe Burrow can't do that, so you can't. Don't fault the Philadelphia Eagles for investing in their offensive line and getting a quarterback that is 6'1", 200-plus pounds, that squats like 1,000 pounds. It's okay. Yeah. You can use the same play and be effective. The Eagles have just found out this. You know what? This is what we do and do well. So it's not an illegal play. It never was. They looked at it in the offseason. For what reason, I don't know. But the tush push is going to stay. Why? Because it's effective and there's nothing wrong with it. Every single team in the NFL can use that same formation and same play. Why don't they do it? Because they don't have the quarterback or the offensive line. Don't fault the Eagles for actually drafting and investing in that type of stuff.
Certainly so, DRS. It's out there for everybody. It's not just, hey, Eagles, you're the one team out of 32 that can do the tush push at the goal line. They're just better at it than everybody else because Jalen Hurts can squat 850 pounds, because everybody gets off the line of scrimmage, led by Jason Kelce. How about my guy Cameron Jurgens from Beatrice, Nebraska, leading the way as well at the right guard position. And that is what they do supremely well. And if you want to get mad at anybody, it shouldn't be Nick Sirianni or Brian Johnson or anybody in Philadelphia. It should be at Roger Goodell in the competition committee around the National Football League, who, like Donnie mentioned, looked at it in the offseason and said it's not really a competitive advantage. It's just playing the game of football and having a strong offensive line and quarterback. So we're going to keep the rule in. Might they look at it again this upcoming offseason in March and April? Sure, but until that point, it's there. You want to stop the Eagles from doing it? Don't let them drive to your one-yard line, and then everything will be fine. The Eagles a victory, DRS, 25-11. Again, covering as a 5.5-point favorite. Philadelphia now 2-0-1 against the spread this year and a perfect 3-0. And DRS, after running the football 48 times for 259 yards against Minnesota a week ago, we thought, all right, they're going to air it out a little bit more. That aerial attack has been a little slow going so far for Philadelphia. Of course, we just mentioned it. Hurts hadn't thrown for 200 yards yet this year. Well, he throws for 277. A.J. Brown gets his 131 receiving yards as well. But Donnie, the Birds still ran it for more than 200. And the Philadelphia kid, DeAndre Swift, is here to stay. 16 carries last night, 130 on the ground. He seems to be, Donnie, their lead back after acquiring him on those draft days in late April from Detroit.
It's pretty wild to watch, because coming into the season all through training camp, Gainwell was the number one running back here. And granted, he does a fine job here, but there's just something different when DeAndre Swift gets the football. He's fast. He runs wild. He runs with power. He runs with elusiveness. Another 16 carries and 130 yards on the ground. It adds that added dimension. And I think a lot of people would come out of this football game and say to ourselves, all right, through three games in the regular season, have the Eagles been all that impressive? You know what? Just wait till they click. Ask me what football team has said, boy, I can't wait till they click. 277 in the air, 201 yards on the ground. And we're talking about the Eagles offense not clicking on a national level, and something is missing from last year. It's hilarious. Even in the postgame, you know, presser, should I say postgame field interview, A.J. Brown took the mic and said, look, we're still a work in progress. If close to 500 yards is a work in progress, I can't wait to see the finished product. Now, also, I got a little bit of a claim here on this one. Yesterday at the FanDuel Sportsbook, I used my profit boost yesterday on Jalen Hurts to throw over 1.5 touchdown passes. He only got one. Dallas Goedert to get 25 receiving yards, easily cleared that. And an A.J. Brown touchdown, which they were force-feeding him. Now, the first one was a tough play where he runs a slant pass in the end zone. It's a high ball, fingertip. You want to see him come down with that. But they ran a design play call late in the game on third down where he goes in and out and he was wide, and a beautiful pass by Hurts, bobbles it and goes out of bounds. And then they threw it again on a third down, excuse me, fourth and two late in the game. Like, they throw the fade ball to him. Let me get a touchdown. And he wasn't able to get in the end zone. So that was my only caveat from yesterday. But granted, 9 for 131, A.J. Brown was happy that he got 14 targets yesterday.
DRS, would it make you feel better if I told you I hit a same game parlay last night, or would you be more upset?
No. No, we like to eat. What did you eat on last night? What did you eat on? Yeah, I'm not going to hate
Listen,
on you.
Listen, the camaraderie here. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you so much. The camaraderie here is what we built. So I had a four-leg same-game parlay plus in the doubleheader of Monday Night Football. I just looked at Philly outright on the money line. A.J. Brown, 60-plus receiving yards, easily cleared that with a $1.31. Bengals money line against the Rams yesterday when they were only a point-and-a-half favorite. And Puka Nacua took his prop down to 60-plus. Really nervous, DRS. Thankfully, that 37-yard bomb late in the fourth quarter clears the number. He finished with 72 plus 645 on a full unit play. It felt very good last night, DRS, to see the board clearly. And Donnie, we saw A.J. Brown's role in this offense pick up last night very clearly. 14 targets, 9 grabs, 131 yards. Tried to get him a touchdown grab, certainly late in that game as well. But Donnie, it's one of the most beautiful things. You have a wide receiver that is paid money. He wants to be involved, even if his team is running for 250 on the ground. And he was last night. Now, dating back to the start of last season, A.J. Brown has been targeted 8 or more times in 14 games as a member of Philadelphia. He has gone over that receiving yards prop of 72 and a hook that he had last night. In 12 of the 14 games, he has received 8 or more targets. If he is getting looked at by Jalen Hurts, he is going to put up some big productive numbers, Donnie.
Yes, he certainly is. And by the way, I know you guys are big, certainly, Ben, in college football. How do we win national championships with DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown on the same football team? Baffles me to this day of how jacked up they were in college and how they continue to dominate in the pros. But a big-time overall win for the Eagles. And also, I do get a kick out of it. At the end of the game, after that final catch by A.J. Brown, he gets up, stands up, Lane Johnson gives him a hug and probably said something in his ears like, see that? Everything's okay. You're going to get yours and everything is fine. Now, granted, you take a look at Devonta Smith, only 4 catches for 28 yards. But you know him. He's not going to be upset about that. But I joked yesterday, if the first drive of the game ended with like a 55-yard touchdown pass with Devonta Smith, Antonio Brown from Tampa, you know, leaving the field, taking everything off, I think A.J. Brown would have requested a trade by the end of the first quarter. So good times here for Eagleville.
Yeah, the Slim Reaper and Devonta Smith, not really too upset like A.J. Brown, potentially. No. So DRS, 3 remaining unbeaten teams, 1 in the AFC, it's the Miami Dolphins, 2 left in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles, both a perfect 3-0. The Niners, a slight favorite in the NFC at plus 260, 40 cents ahead of the Birds at plus 300. We'll talk about that later on, Donnie, because I think the Eagles deserve to be the favorites, but we'll wait for another time. More of the Early Line, that's up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Diamond Dash. And listen, it's really a dash here in the final week of the Major League Baseball regular season. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, on Sunday, the MLB regular season comes to a close. 162-game marathon down to its final 5 or 6 games around the bigs in this last week. And Donnie, all year long, we've been doing the Diamond Dash, right? A review of the daily things that we see in Major League Baseball, where back in May, it's like, whatever, what an interesting game that was. June, okay, pretty cool stuff. We're getting a sample size after the first 2 months of what these teams look like. Now, every day, Donnie, each and every Diamond Dash we do is supremely important, even with only 4 games around Major League Baseball yesterday.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch it, too, because we were sort of playing it out, saying, okay, we got a Monday Night Football doubleheader. Boy, there's only 4 games in Major League Baseball, but every single one of those games actually mattered yesterday. You got some fantastic pitching performances that went to waste. You got some comeback victories from teams that have already been eliminated from the playoffs, trying to eliminate other people from the playoffs. It was a good one to watch. So even if your focus was on football, there's a lot of hot stuff on the diamond for sure.
A lot of hot stuff in MLB. Yeah. DRS right now, 3 of the American League West teams still vying for a postseason spot. The Rangers, Astros, and Mariners all on the diamond yesterday. We start in Seattle with the Mariners hosting the Houston Astros. And DRS, both teams were swept over the weekend. Seattle by Texas. The Rangers now a 2.5 game lead in the American League West. We'll detail in just a moment. That made sense. The Astros swept by the Royals. They had lost 9 of their last 12 games entering the opener yesterday in the Pacific Northwest, and Houston, Donnie, was booked as a road underdog. An aces affair, Luis Castillo on one side for Seattle. He got roughed up early and often. Justin Verlander on the other side for the Astros. A vintage performance out of the 40-year-old former AL Cy Young winner from just a season ago, DRS. 8 innings of work out of Verlander, only allowing 3 hits, just 1 earned run, striking out 8. And the Astros pick up a huge victory in Seattle, 5-1 yesterday, DRS.
This is why baseball is crazy here. You have a home stand against the Royals who are just looking to play golf in literally 1 week or maybe head to Vegas or down to Mexico and just relax. And they're sweeping the Houston Astros who absolutely need to get victories. Then you go on the road against a baseball team that had been playing well up until late here, getting swept in the last round, and say, all right, here's where the buck stops and the Mariners turn it on. The Astros continue to fade. And the Astros get the great performance out of Verlander here. And a guy with Castillo on the mound here for Seattle who's been pitching very well with an ERA around 3. three, they light him up and they hold the Mariners to only three hits in that game, a massive victory. Yeah. Because it's one thing, Ben, we talk about getting swept by another team when you're fighting with another team. But it's like, you know what? We don't play each other, so we just watch the scoreboard. It's only one scoreboard you got to watch when you play each other, and it feels like a double down when you win. So yesterday, how big it was, if the Mariners won, they would have jumped the Astros. But now the Astros pick up the victory, and they get a little bit of a comfort level at 1.5 games. Now, granted, you want to win this series, but if you are the Astros and can get a sweep here, away you go into the playoffs. Big dealings every day, playoff atmosphere heading down the stretch. Massive win for the Astros. Massive win for me with my futures. I mean, you got to tell. 3 weeks ago, I'm talking about the Astros being the best team in baseball, and then they're not even going to make the playoffs. Would it make me look like an idiot? Yeah. But there's still time, Ben, to make me look like an idiot with my Astros tickets. I just hope not.
That postseason pedigree is certainly still there for the Stros, DRS. A Seattle team last year that snapped a two-decade-long postseason drought with all the talent the Mariners had, a slow start to 2022 in the beginning, a wild flurry at the end to see October. DRS, there was optimism for the M's this year entering 2023. A slow beginning once again, but after the All-Star break, the M's turned it on. 31-3 DRS after that All-Star break, midway through the July until the end of August. They seem like the hottest team in MLB. But now in September, Donnie, Seattle just 8-15. They have lost 7 of their last 9 games, and it doesn't get any easier. 2 more against the Astros this week, 4 more against the Texas Rangers, albeit at home, to end out the season. We'll talk about Texas right here, right now, because the Rangers, DRS, the hottest team in the bigs. They have won 6 consecutive games. They take care of business yesterday on the road in Anaheim, booked as nearly a $2 favorite, and they keep that cushion of 2.5 games in the American League West. Texas now, DRS, has won 12 of their last 15 games. They have scored 5 or more runs in 10 of those 12 victories.
Yes, and a big-time performance yesterday by Gray. These are the ones that you need here from not only like your top-level pitchers, as we just talked about Verlander and the start you got from him for the Astros, but guys like Gray, this is how you win divisions. This is how you make the playoffs here. And also yesterday, talking about some of his forthcomings, ERA is a little bit high, not pitching well over the past 6 weeks. He got 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 7 Ks, and no walks in a road start yesterday from Gray. And also, sometimes when you take a look at the handicap, I told you, the Rangers should win that game, and they did, because I thought they'd be able to get the Sandoval. He only goes 3 innings pitch. He had a high xFIP over the past 6 weeks, but he doesn't even give up any runs, but actually 5 walks and got away with it. Yeah. But the big bats came up big yesterday. When you had the ability with one swing of the bat to put runs on the board with nobody on base, the Rangers can do that. They did that last night. Big time win on the road, keeping the pressure on the Mariners and also the Astros.
All right, DRS, so here's where things look for those 3 American League West teams. Texas maintains that 2.5 game advantage in the division. They're now -850 are the Rangers to win the American League West divisional crown. But with the win yesterday for Houston, much needed, they have a 1.5 lead over Seattle for that 3rd and final American League wild card spot. DRS, there's not a make playoff price perhaps on Houston, but right now there is a market on the FanDuel Sportsbook to be the number 6 seed in the American League playoff picture. That is that 3rd and final American League wild card spot. The Astros a -140 favorite, Seattle +250, but the Mariners are nearly $1.50 favorite in their 2nd game against Houston at home tonight. Donnie, everybody in action in Major League Baseball on this Tuesday, really the full beginning of this final week. We are going to update the American League West divisional standings, the American League wild card standings in this final week, and Donnie, pretty much every day there is going to be an update of note.
Yes, there is. And also, look, pressure sometimes bursts pipes here in this. And what I mean by that is the better pitcher on the mound is not always going to win or how he stands up to that pressure. You're talking about Seattle with Kirby on the mound, a young pitcher relatively here in Major League Baseball in a must-win situation. Now, he should be the better pitcher over Christian Javier, but we'll see how that plays out. A very good-looking lineup tonight here against right-handed pitching for the Houston Astros. If we just take a look at Javier, he doesn't get lefties or righties out. This is a big spot here for the Mariners and Kirby tonight.
And they need one. The Astros DRS, the make playoff odds just updated courtesy of our associate producer, Joe Friezo. Houston -295, nearly a $3 favorite to see October. So, Donnie, that's really the race in the American League. What?
Joe's handicapping. I like that. That's his price he set, right? Yeah. That's not FanDuel. That was his.
Yeah.
All right.
He called John Sheeran at the FanDuel Sportsbook and said, all right, the boys like the Astros. Make them a $3 favorite. Elsewhere, DRS around the National League, those wild card standings also going to update on a daily basis. One of the four games was a makeup between the Yankees and the D-backs on what has been a soggy weekend in the greater New York City area. They were able to play yesterday in the Bronx, and the Yankees stormed back, DRS, to knock off the D-backs. They were down 4-3 with the pinstripes entering the home half of the eighth. They played three in the bottom of the eighth inning for a 6-4 victory over Arizona, who entered yesterday winning six of their last seven. So, Donnie, the Yankees have been eliminated, but they hand the D-backs a loss Arizona really did not want at this point of the season.
No, and sometimes you take a look at baseball games and say, okay, the Yankees played at five runs over the first three innings. We tried to come back and just couldn't do that. You had the lead. You're supposed to shut the door on the New York Yankees, who had one of those half lineups that said, yeah, we sort of care about this game, but it's raining out here. Let's not get anybody hurt. And they end up winning that game 6-4 overall. That's a devastating loss for the Diamondbacks. But again, it's still hard to win on the road and make up games and extended stays here. That's just a tough look because why? You had the lead late. You just needed to shut the door, and you didn't.
And they certainly did not. DRS, they have Paul Sewald, who they acquired at the deadline from Seattle. He didn't really get that opportunity in the home half of the eighth inning. So the Yanks have been eliminated. Now here, where are the standings in the National League wild card? With the loss yesterday, the Diamondbacks now in a tie with the Chicago Cubs, but those two teams occupy the two final wild card spots in the National League. They have both Arizona and Chicago a full game up on the Miami Marlins at this moment. In DRS, accordingly, those are the make playoff odds. The D-backs, a very hefty favorite. Chicago, actually a worse price, Donnie, than that of Miami, because the Marlins schedule to end out this final week is seemingly, at least on paper, much easier than that of the Cubbies.
Yeah, beware of that. The Astros had the easiest schedule of all time over the past 3 weeks and can't beat some of those lame duck teams. And again, we have to always preface this by saying, just because the teams are out of it, they're Major League Baseball players. They're paid to get statistics here. Their next contract comes up, they're paid on that. Same thing with pitchers. Throwing games, just hoping the season is going to end. That's why it's still so tough to pick up victories. And also, when you're playing lame duck teams in a three-game series, hey, you win that series 2-1. That's fantastic. Even though we think in our minds, like, man, they should win every game against this team who theoretically is out of the playoffs. It'll be interesting to watch it come down the stretch, but you would rather play teams that aren't playing for anything than, you know, stepping up to the plate against a team that really needs the victory.
Theoretically, on paper, again, the Cubbies' schedule down the stretch is not easy. They are on the road in Atlanta for a three-game set that starts today. They finish with their divisional foe in the Brewers with a three-game set in Milwaukee. Theoretically, two of the better teams in the National League. But Donnie, what is the Braves' motivation at this point? They are going to be the top team in the National League playoff picture. What is the Brew Crew's motivation at this point? They've pretty much clinched the division at this moment, and they're pretty firmly in that third of three divisional spots, having won the National League Central. The Cubbies, DRS, an underdog on the road today with Justin Steele, who flamed out last week against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think they need that win. Miami, DRS, today on the road up in Queens against the New York Mets. More rain expected here in the greater NYC area today. The Philadelphia Phillies, a five-game lead, DRS, for that top spot right now in the National League wild card. The Phillies have won five straight with their sixth consecutive victory. Today against the Pittsburgh Pirates, Philly clinches that postseason berth.
Yes, and it looks like the Phillies are playing their best baseball at the end of the season, which feels a lot like last year when they got hot and went on that run into the World Series against the Houston Astros. But to your point here on the Atlanta Braves, what are they looking for down the stretch? They're basically in spring training right now. Get your bats in, get your work in, get healthy, get your workouts off the field, and also for pitchers, just try to stay sharp. Bullpen sessions, you know, go out, give 4 to 5 innings in a game. We don't need you for 7 to 8 and get that rotation right, because they will have an advantage and a rest advantage, but it always has that little balance of scales. Rest and rust, and how do you do it there? Look, if I'm under the adage, the same way the NFL guys do, we're not playing many guys in the preseason. We just want to make it to the season / postseason healthy, and then we'll give it our best run.
DRS, you can see the tiers of distinction in all of MLB, the two top teams in the National League, the Braves and the Dodgers. pretty short favorites compared to the rest of the field. Atlanta plus 260, nearly $2 on top of that. LA plus 430, and then it falls all the way off to Baltimore DRS, the favorites now in the American League at 7-1. The Rangers 50 cents back plus 750. The Astros round out the top five, Donnie, at 10-1.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch it play out again. Maybe take a look for a little longer of a shot here. I think the Atlanta Braves, by the way, are the best team in baseball as it sits, even though they're not playing their best baseball right now. But sometimes you take a look at the ticket price that you're going to have to punch here, and you say, boy, is that worth the effort to go through all of those series here only to get paid that amount of money? I look a little bit further down the line.
We end out hour number one of the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on this Tuesday on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We end out hour number one. But, Donnie, you know what has no clear ending in sight, at least as of right now? When is Damian Lillard going to be traded by the Portland Trailblazers? If you're like me, you've probably been waiting all summer long, now into the early fall, to see where Dame is going. Donnie, he only wants to play in Miami, but the Blazers need more than what the Heat are offering. However, ESPN's Mark Spears reporting earlier this week, DRS, that maybe the Toronto Raptors are trying to get involved in the fold for Damian Lillard. DRS, we are less than about 3 weeks away from the start of a new NBA season. Where is Dame going to play his basketball in 2023?
Yeah, by the way, they also talked about getting this deal done before Media Day, which on some teams is October the 1st and October the 2nd, which means this weekend. So I do preface this by saying, Ben, probably going to be a real hot BATR this weekend trying to find out where he's actually going. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Yeah. But outside of it, Damian Lillard out here on the basketball court, he's not going any farther north, Ben. He's not going north. He's going to South Beach. A superstar player has basically told everybody, I only want to go to South Beach. You're going to trade him to Toronto? Good luck with that.
Our coach, James Young, just perked up on this Tuesday morning when he heard BATR is back this weekend. If you're keeping track of the NBA offseason, the biggest moves, the biggest things that have happened, DRS, where is Damian Lillard going to go? James Harden calling Daryl Morey a fraud and a liar. Is he going to be traded from Philadelphia? But the third, Sixers fans do not fear, Kelly Oubre, the sharp-shooting lefty, is going to the city of brotherly love. Maybe, at least that's the intention at this moment. DRSBATR. I think you would look good in that hosting chair come next season on Betting Above the Rim. One thing I can tell you, Donnie can break down, WNBA playoff action. We will do that to start hour two in 55 seconds.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.